I want to thank you again for welcoming Peaceful Living to Plains. It's been a joy for us to put together the service with you and share it with you. As Sarah said, my wife and I have been attending here for some time now, and we're going to talk about love today. But I want to tell you that you all do pretty well in this department. I can honestly say that since my wife and I have been attending, we've been invited out more times to eat than I can tell you. We've eaten in people's homes. Since we started attending, I've put on 50 pounds. So you have loved me more. So no, that's not true. I've always been a little pudgy. So we're going to talk about love, though. Because I do think when we do something well, we can always do it better, right? And so sometimes we say at Peaceful Living, it's always good to start with the why. And I really appreciate Jan for reading the scriptures, because I think both the scripture from 1 John and Galatians tell us why we are to love. The first one said that anyone who is born of God and knows God, right, has to love. That's pretty much what the passage says. And so loving others is a barometer of how close we are to God. So if I'm not doing too well at loving other people, perhaps I'm not very close to God. The Bible also teaches that when we accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of that Spirit that Jan read is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what's the first fruit that's mentioned? Love. So if we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we're submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, one of the first things that we should be showing other people is love. So if you were to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, is how loving are you? Let's use the guys for example. 10, you're just loving it out of the park, and 1, you're not doing so well. How well do you think you're doing? All right, and then go home and ask your wife how well you're doing. And she'll probably come up with a number that's a little more accurate. Sometimes I think I'm doing pretty well in the loving department, but I think if I really want to know how well I'm doing, I'll go home and ask Elaine and say, Elaine, how well am I doing at loving other people? So we've got the why down. I think most of us know why we need to love other people. But then the question comes, who are we to love? I really appreciate Tanya and the kids for coming up and telling the story, because the story makes it very clear who we are to love. And so, excuse my paraphrase as we move forward, but an expert in the law, a guy who's pretty proud about how much he knows about the Old Testament scriptures, comes up to Jesus and says, how do I gain eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you're an expert of the law. You know the law. How do you read it? What does it tell you? And the teacher says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, very good. You got it right. And then Jesus probably turns to do something else, but the teacher wanted to justify himself. And so he says, what does he say? Who is my neighbor? Right? Love your neighbor's house. So I'll get Jesus here in a little trap. Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus, all right, he puts down his sandwich and he launches into the story. And we know the story. We've all probably heard it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. But the story's pretty simple, as we heard. A man is beaten up, he's left on the side of the road for dead. A priest comes by, and for whatever reason, we don't know why, Jesus doesn't say, but he sees the man, and he chooses to walk on the other side of the road and move on, the priest. Then a Levite comes along, you know, the really special priest, and he sees the man, and he chooses to walk around and go the other way. And then who comes along to save the man and help the man? The Good Samaritan. And we all know, right? The Good Samaritan was at the bottom of the totem pole socially, and the priests were at the top. So Jesus makes his first point, which is that the good neighbor is not based on whether you're rich or poor, or you're the 1%, or you're the Republican, or the Democrat, or the Mennonite, or the Lutheran, the good neighbor is based on the person who actually stops to help the person in need. So who are we to love? I think it was said in our story, we're really here to love everyone, aren't we? People in need, each other, people who are part of our church, people who are part of our community, people who live in Syria. But then the question comes, how shall we love? Because we can say, wow, we know why we're supposed to love, we know who we're supposed to love, but how are we really supposed to love? And that's where it gets a little tougher. It's pretty easy in the story to see who we should love because there's a guy that's laying in a ditch, bleeding. They said it took his clothes. He's naked. He's just laying there. So who should we help? The guy that has the physical need. And so interestingly enough, the Good Samaritan begins to meet those physical needs. It says that he bandaged him. It says that he took him and he put him on his donkey and he transported him to an inn where he left him. He paid some money so that the innkeeper would take care of him. So he took care of all of his physical needs. And I think most of us here are pretty good people. If we actually saw somebody in need and could help them physically, we would, right? If we saw somebody who was hungry, we would give them food. If we saw somebody who needed clothes, we'd give them clothes. If we saw a mom struggling with a child and we could help, we would do that, right? But in our world today, I think there are needs beyond the physical that we're missing. I came across a study recently, and it broke my heart because since 1999 to 2017, something has happened in our country. And deaths of despair have almost more than doubled. Now you say, what is a death of despair? A death of despair is either suicide, death related to alcohol abuse, which, you know, could be liver disease, could be heart disease, anything related to alcohol abuse, and then, of course, drug overdose. So back in 1999, 21 out of every 100,000 people died in one of these ways. Today, or in 2017, 45 people out of every 100,000 died either because of suicide, alcohol abuse, or drug overdose. So I did the math, and I tallied up the population of Lansdale, Harleysville, Hatfield, and Souderton. There are more people that die in America than are in each of those towns four times over. Can you believe that? That more people in America die deaths of despair than are in Lansdale, Harleysville, Hatfield, and Souderton. Not just once to populate those areas, but four times. How shall we then love? We need to take action. That's easy. We all know that from the passage, right? It says not just that the man felt pity, that the Good Samaritan felt pity on the man who was beaten and mugged, but it says that he took pity. My wife and I were watching 60 Minutes the other day, and they were talking about Syria and all that's going on over there. It was horrible. They were showing pictures of the people who have been affected, and she made the statement, I can't even watch that. And the reason why was because she felt deeply for those people. That's what pity is. The Greek word, the root word, actually it comes from the word intestine. It means that we feel it deeply down within. So she was feeling it deeply for these people, but couldn't do anything. The Good Samaritan not only felt deeply for the victim, but he took pity. If we jump to the end of the story, when Jesus says to the teacher, who was the good neighbor to the victim out of the three, the Levite, the priest, or the Good Samaritan, who would you say? And the teacher rightly guesses or says, the man who had mercy on him. Now, mercy is an action. My brother was driving up here to see me this week, and as usual, he was driving a little too fast. And so he looked in his rearview mirror, and lo and behold, as has happened before, there was a police officer tailing him, kicked on his lights, pulled him over, but for some reason, the officer had mercy on James. He didn't give him a ticket. That's what mercy is. Mercy is this. It's when you have the power to relieve someone's pain or punishment, and you choose to do it. So this victim was in a ditch, suffering, and the Good Samaritan showed mercy, another action, showed mercy, took pity. So love's not a feeling. We all know that. It's a nice feeling. But love is more than that. It's action. So how shall we then love? And I want to propose this before I close. There's a word in that story that I've never noticed before. And it's the word in. I-N-N. It says that the Good Samaritan took the man to the inn. And the word inn in the Greek literally is translated, all are welcome. So the Good Samaritan takes the man to a place where all are welcome. And I think that's what the world needs today, is for us to take people to a place where they're welcome. I don't know why people are despairing. I don't know why people have lost hope. Is it social media and they can see the wonders of what everybody else is doing? Is it because opioids are more available? Is it because we've taken faith out of just about every institution in America except for the church? I don't know. But I do know that we're called to love, and we need to start loving more deeply beyond the physical, by creating places, by creating a presence where all are welcome. And again, I think we're doing pretty good at Plains with this. It's something that Peaceful Living is striving to do more and more. We want to become a place where people are welcome, a place where people matter, a place where people belong, a place where people are loved. But the only way that can happen is if you and I as individuals become a place of belonging, a place of welcoming. I tend sometimes to get caught up in my own world, as many of us do, but one of the greatest gifts I gave to my children a few years ago around Christmas time was I said, you know what, from now on your dad's not going to talk about politics. And you know what? What it's freed me up to do is to sit there and be present and to listen to them without trying to push any agenda on them, without trying to teach them in any way, but just to be present, to hear them so that they know that they matter and that they're loved. And that's all we're trying to do, is love people, and by doing so, pointing them to the love of God. No greater love has any man than to lay down his life for a friend. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life for you and me, and we love because he loved first. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have Louise and Sue come up. Louise is another woman who lives in our Shalom home. And we're going to talk to her about belonging and see what we can learn there. See if we're doing a pretty good job or not. I don't know. But we're going to keep trying, right, Louise? And this is Sue, our residential director. Sue's been with us now for, I think, about 3 years. Is that right? 3 years.
Hello, I'm Louise Cowell.
Yeah, go ahead and have a seat, Louise. So how long have you been living at the Shalom House?
I've been living at Shalom House for 8 years.
8 years.
It seems more.
It sure does.
But it seems less at the same time.
Yes, that's right. Do you feel like you belong there?
Yes. When I moved there, I felt as though I belonged there because I was not you. They didn't use the R word, and I don't want to say it, but I'm glad that they don't use it. I just feel belonged and loved as a family and helping one another when we through the bad and the good. When there's something wrong with somebody, we pray about them at the table and give them life and, you know, give them strength to get over it, and helping them and helping one another.
Yeah. That's something you do very well. And we have Kim, who's here, and Jan. They both live at the home with someone else, yeah. Gracie, right?
Yeah, Grace.
Yes. And you all do care about each other and love one another. And I can say, since I've been with Peaceful Living in the last 4.5 years, you've invited me out to eat. Hence the weight, right? This is a theme here. Invited me over to eat, and every time I see you, for some reason, you always tell me that I'm such a nice man.
You are. You're such a nice man.
And I really do appreciate it. You always make me feel special, like I belong also, and I need that. And I know that everyone here needs that. So do you have anything else to say about belonging or your church? Or do you feel like you belong at your church?
I go to another church as well.
Okay.
And I belong there too.
Okay.
It was Sue's church, but it's not Sue's church. It's our church.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's right.
Now, why do you feel like you belong there at church? Are there people you know that care about you?
No, they just do it differently, and sometimes it's what I need, a different way to be called to God.
Okay.
What happens when you get to the door when we go up there?
Everybody hugs me and wants me to give them a lot of kisses.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you, Louise,
for sharing
with us and for teaching us a little about welcoming people and creating the space for us all to belong. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. All right. Well, I don't know who's up next, but we're going to keep working on learning to love each other better. And what's next on the agenda? There we go. Okay.